hopes it come to be. And people gather around, they are all what they can bring. And nobody wins that. I only learn a song to sing. The revolution starts now.
This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now on Air America Radio. We're the music show on Sunday night, and we have our guests come in and bring their records, what, you know, stuff that means something to them and stuff they're listening to. And this week, my guest is Jonathan Demme. How are you?
I'm really well. I'm really excited to be on this show with you and the records.
Well, thanks. This is kind of cool. Jonathan and I actually met only recently because he you insinuated yourself into this project. I didn't have to track you down, but actually we just made a video clip together, which we'll talk about that a little bit later. But your last feature project was The Manchurian Candidate, which kind of brings us to this first track that you brought in.
Yeah, this song was, of course, the classic by John Fogerty and Creedence Clearwater Revival. And when we were editing Manchurian Candidate, I was riding in my car, and it struck me that that this great old song, Fortunate Son, had a lot of thematic richness appropriate to the movie. So I called up my good friend Wyclef Jean and asked if he'd be interested in covering the song and reinterpreting it. And he loved the song, and this is what we wound up with.
Make the way to fly. Ooh, the red, white, and blue. The red,
Wyclef Jean and Fortunate Son from the Manchurian Candidate soundtrack, and that's a must have been a pretty intimidating thing to approach, you know, like I hate the term remake, but to make a film like the Manchurian Candidate. I grew up with that movie. Scared the hell out of me. I mean, I was like maybe, I don't know, I guess when I saw it for the first time, I was probably 6 or 7. Saw it at the drive-in with my parents. You know, they went to see it. I went to see whatever they saw. But it was a scary movie, especially growing up in the times that I grew up.
Well, I was older than you, and I was just about coming out of high school when it came out. And yeah, it was a revolutionary new kind of American movie. It presented violence. It presented a look at the political establishment that I don't think we'd ever seen in American movies before. And I did it for two reasons, because I could have been easily intimidated from doing it. But the fact is that when I received it, I knew that Denzel Washington had already agreed to play the part that Frank Sinatra played. So
right.
we're almost there already.
Right.
And the other thing was that this fellow Dan Pine, who wrote the screenplay, he changed so many of the basic things from the original, and he turned it into, as far as I was concerned, sort of a very original.
Yeah, and that fits the times, and you know, I remember what I equated it with, not quite understanding the movie. Of course, I saw it later, you know, as a teenager, and understood it, and I've seen it several times since. I mean, I'm talking about the original, and at the time, it was black and white, and it had this mood to it, and for me, it had the same tone as, do you remember the ads? There was a PSA that was on, and I guess the government must have paid for it, of Nikita Khrushchev banging his shoe, and it was actually, they were taking a translation from a totally different speech on a totally different day, you know, we will bury you.
Right.
You
right.
Know, and they had the Vaseline on the lens and the whole bit. And I grew up believing that if I ever encountered Nikita Khrushchev, that he would certainly eat me. You know, I had no doubt in my mind about that whatsoever. You brought in this is a band that I'm actually not familiar with, which is everybody else around here seems to be, except for me. I miss something every once in a while. Pearls Before Swine.
Yeah, Pearls Before Swine is actually essentially the work of a solo artist, a fellow named Tim Rapp, who came on the scene in the mid to late 60s with the kind of the whole Beatles, Dylan, everything happening, and he was there with Pearls Before Swine. He had musicians with him, but he kept the name, and I think that, you know, he wrote it, he sang it, he played the guitar, he arranged everything. And this was a later album by Pearls Before Swine, and this is a song that I've always thought was kind of a great song with amazing lyrics. Very moving, and when I had the opportunity to come on the show with Steve Earle, you know, like, you're obviously one of my favorite songwriters and American, you know, musical artists hell of all time. So I thought, wonder what Steve Earle would think about The Jeweler by Tim Rapp. So
the jeweler has a shop on the corner of the boulevard. In the night, in small spectacles, he polishes old coins. He uses spitting cloth and ashes, he makes them shine with ashes. He knows the use of ashes, he worships God with ashes. The coin are often very old by the time they reach the jeweler. With his hands in ashes, he will try the best he can. He knows that he can only shine them, cannot repair the scratches. He knows that even
Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now on Air America Radio.
In the darkest of the night, both his hands will blister badly. they will often open painfully, and the blood flows from his hand. He works a take from black coin faces, some prints from so many ages. He wishes he could cure the scar when he forgets he sometimes cries.
This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now on Air America Radio. My guest this week is Jonathan Demme. And, you know, for a long time before we actually had that first telephone conversation, I kept hearing from my friend Tony Fitzpatrick that we needed to get together. You know, he's...
I would call Tony up whenever one of your new albums came out and say, Tony, that new Steve Earle album's phenomenal. Your cover art's great, because I guess he's been doing covers for you forever now.
He's done, I don't know how many we've done, seven LPs.
Tony
together.
Was like, man, you ought to call Steve, man. You ought to tell Steve, man. I was like, I'm not going to call Steve Earle up and tell him I love his music. And then when the Revolution CD came out, and I loved it, and I called Tony, and we played it a lot, you know, just a constant. I called Tony, and he, you ought to call Steve, man. I said, okay.
You did the best Tony Fitzpatrick impression of anybody I know. What was the one about? I think I'm doing the best work yet. It's always in that.
My best work ever. Every show.
That's
and
perfect.
And it is.
It is. That's the frightening thing about it. Tony Fitzpatrick is an artist. He's a visual artist. He's a poet.
Actor.
He's an actor. And, you know, anytime they need somebody to play a great big dumb guy in a movie in Chicago, it's Tony's the guy that they call. And I've actually done live theater with Tony, and I've seen him in live theater that he was really great. And he took kind of a year and did a lot of theater around Chicago. He did like two shows in a row for Looking Glass, which is kind of, Looking Glass is sort of now where Steppenwolf was 10 years ago. They've got a lot of funding now, and they're really starting to, you know, kind of feel their oats, and they're doing some really, really great theater. And Tony, but he had to go back to you know, hunkering down in the studio because he wasn't, you know, theater. You don't make money doing theater. It's a very pure art form because of that, especially still living at it. Well, this is you're not the first person that's brought in one of my tracks on my own radio show, so I mean, it's a little embarrassing sometimes, but we do. This is Air America Radio, and we do not practice censorship here, so you're allowed to play whatever you want to. So you set the track up, you brought it in.
Well, this is what are we allowed to say here?
I mean, F the CC is perfectly fine. That's why I named it that, so I could say it.
And yeah, I really, really wanted to bring this in because when you played a New York concert that I went to with some friends of mine shortly before the recent presidential election, it was a great show. And then when you did this song, I think the house lights came up, and all I know is that this song filled me with joy and a real euphoria. And in a different way than we usually sing along with songs. Everybody was singing along with us because after the repression of post 9/11, it just felt so great to be in a brightly lit room with a bunch of people expressing these incredibly American feelings.
Here you go, W.
Okay, I don't understand.
This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now on Air America Radio. This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now on Air America Radio. My guest this week is Jonathan Demme, and we're playing records that he brought in. That's what we do here. I've known Lucinda Williams since I was 17 years old. We met at the Kerrville Folk Festival, I guess, in 1972. She's as good as they get. Great singer, great songwriter.
Great performance artist. I love her live.
Yeah. And she's gotten, it's funny, the last few years, I sat in with her three times over the summer. We just happened to bump into each other at festivals and then Farm Aid as well this year. She's singing the best I've ever heard her sing.
I saw her come through town about a year ago, year and a half ago, at Madison Square Garden. She was opening for Neil Young when he was introducing Greendale.
Right.
And I loved her so much on record. I'd never seen her before, and I was startled by how much she rocked out in person.
It's a great band, and that happens sometimes. Almost from the very beginning on my records, we were so much louder than the records were. And eventually you learn how to translate. I think that, one medium feeds the other. And eventually when you get really good, you learn how to take stuff from the studio to the stage and take stuff from the stage into the studio and figure out how to make it have that sort of same impact.
It was exciting, yeah.
Yeah, it's a cool deal. Well, this is Lucinda out with Neil kind of brings us to what we got set up to go in this set, because this was really interesting. We're going to play a Lucinda track and a Neil track here, which you thought would be interesting contrasted against each other.
Yeah, because I love twin spins, thematically linked twin spins, and Lucinda Williams and Neil Young are two of my, everybody's all-time great, great, great favorites, and Lucinda Williams' song that's about the sweet side of somebody, and Neil Young's song about the violent side seem to be a natural thing. And the Lucinda Williams song, like so many of your songs, I think are great because you've got so much empathy as a writer, and even vocally in the way you interpret it. And this song struck me the first time I heard it. It's just so incredibly moving. I love that. And this Neil Young song, just a very strange, un-Neil Young thing off his Landing on Water album, which nobody has. I'm, again, curious to see what you think of this marriage of tunes.
You run yourself ragged trying to be strong. Feel bad when you're doing nothing wrong. Love got all confused. of anger and pride. So much abuse on such a little child. Someone you trusted told you to shut up. Now there's a pain in your gut that you can't get rid of. No one heard your screams when you were nine, but bad dreams filled the summer at times. So you don't always show your sweet side. 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 You're tough as steel and you keep your chin up. You don't ever feel like you're good enough. You had the blues ever since you were six. Your little tennis shoes and your pickup sticks. You were screamed at and kicked over and over. Now you always feel sick and you can't keep a lover. Every Christmas there were presents to unwrap, but the things you witnessed when you were five and a half. So you don't always show your sweet side. 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 Someone deserted you, the damage is done. You don't deserve to be loved by no one. Hands that would feed you when you were two were the same hands that beat you black and blue. You get defensive at every turn. You're overly sensitive and overly concerned. Be precious memories, no lullabies. Hollowed out centuries of lies. You don't always show your sweet side. You don't always show your sweet side. You don't always show your sweet side. You don't. The kitchen cooking me supper. I listened to your pitching and I watched you suffer. I still love you, baby, cause I know you don't mean to do the cruel things you do. I seen you sewing buttons on your shirt. I seen you throwing up when your stomach hurt. I stick by you, baby, through thick and thin, no matter what kind of shape you're in. Cause I seen your sweet side. I seen your sweet side. I see your sweet side, baby. I see your sweet side. I see your sweet side, baby. I see your sweet side.
Neil Young. That's you'll never run into anybody more fearless than Neil Young. I tell people all the time there's no better role model for how one should carry oneself with integrity in the music business.
And he's also a fantastic filmmaker. Greendale's one of my very favorite films of last year. Well, one of my very favorite films. I think it's really a brilliant picture.
And I haven't seen it yet. Well, I need to correct that. This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now on Air America Radio. This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now on Air America Radio. My guest this week is Jonathan Demme, and this has been a gas. This has been fun.
Well, I've sure loved it. Thank you so much for letting me come in here.
Brought in cool stuff, and you know, we spent a very, very long day at CBGB, and it happened to be, as it turned out, one of the longest, and the way it turned out in the end, one of the worst days of my life, because there were a lot of us, you know, that worked really, really hard leading up to this last election. And the way that panned out for me was coming into New York, and we stuck into, you know, swing states until the last three nights before the election. And then we came in and played three New York shows, including we decided that CBGB for election night was the way to go, because there's no place better place to celebrate, no better place to be for the end of the world than CBs, you know. So
right,
and it ended up being, you know, a pretty amazingly long day, and you know, we were, you know, The Revolution Starts Now was obviously the first track off the record, and we've been working that, and by that time, you know, the record had been out for a little while, and, you know, the tour, we were getting ready to leave for Europe the next day, and you know, I met you in the process of, originally you'd called wanting to film, you know, something.
Yeah.
And then we started talking about the CB show, and that sort of morphed into making, you know, a video clip. So we had to start trying to figure out what we were going to make a clip of. In other words, what the next track was going to be. And for me, you know, the choice of Rich Man's War as the second track from this record was fairly obvious, because the election for me was about the war.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
I have two sons, and they're, you know, 23 and 18, and so it became very personal for
me. Well, for me, you know, this song is such a dispatch from the war. And it just brings everything into such sharp focus, and this with this sort of amazing expansion that occurs in the third verse of this song, where we go beyond, you know, reminding us what the reality is for our people in uniform and their families back home and how tough it is, and again, you know, the question, the why, what makes this worth it, and then you suddenly open up and take a whole other side of the perspective on the situation, and it's kind of a transcendentally moving piece, I think, and, you know, again, it's that amazing empathy you've got, your ability to just really put yourself right inside real life situations and make us care.
Well, I mean, that's sort of, I think, what art is, you know, especially performing arts, you're trying to make people feel what you feel and care about it. You know, it's like, it's my experiences, and it's sometimes it's not, you know, sometimes I'm not the character that's speaking in my songs. In this particular case, it's narrative, some way of expressing my core opposition to this war or any war, and that is the idea that how hard wars are, and it seems to become increasingly true as time goes on, that it's rich people that decide that we're going to war, and they're not going,
mm-hmm.
and their kids aren't going. And Yasser Arafat, you know, the third verse, at first I thought it was going to be about, you know, an Iraqi soldier, and then I thought about this war that we're fighting partially exists because the vast majority of Americans can't discern between one Arab and another Arab,
mm-hmm.
which I think is really, 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 really dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Just that whole idea, because that is, it's like the worst form of bigotry. And it was just expanding it to, you know, Yasser Arafat, you know, God rest him, was one of the richest people in the Mideast. And, you know, no matter what you believe, it's very easy for people that are insulated and people that have the funds to make these sort of things happen to, you know, and they're always dealing with Belfast is the same situation as Palestine. Mm-hmm. It's poor kids are very easy to recruit. You can convince them to go out and fight and die because they really don't have anything else to do and they don't have anything else to lose.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate you coming and bringing this stuff, and we'll see you next time. Thanks.
Thank you, Steve. I got a big collection. Please have me back sometime, okay? I got a lot All more right. things I like to play with you.
We'll do it.
Jim and John are because you had no place to go. There ain't nobody higher right here since I'm jousing down to Mexico. Reckon that learning of a trade made me see the world. Moved to the city someday, married a black-haired girl. Somebody somewhere had another plan. Now he's got a rifle in his hand, rolling in a bag that wondering how he got this far. Just another poor boy off to fight a rich man's war. Red, white, and blue to the moon, with a land in Kandahar. I left behind a pretty young wife and a baby girl. I stack overdue bills and went off to save the world. It's been a year now, he's still here, chasing ghosts and dry air. We were back at home, the finance company took his car. He's just another poor boy off to fight a rich man's war. Find a rich man's war.